Welcome to the Life Organized Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Layton, and as the creator of both the Life Organized Podcast and the Life Organized membership, I teach busy moms how to get organized, manage their time, and master their mindset. I'm a mom and wife too, so I know how overwhelming it can all be. But living an organized life means you don't have to sacrifice anything. With the right systems and tools, you can get your home and family running like a well-oiled machine and still have time for all the other things you love to do. If you're new here, DM me the word FAST on Instagram at JLTheHappyGal and I will send you my top tips to help you get organized fast. We'll cover clutter, time management, and give you empowering new perspectives that will make organizing your life so much easier. All right, let's jump into today's episode. Well, hi, I want to welcome Mandy Marie Eldridge to the podcast. Mandy Marie is amazing. She's actually been one of my coaches, has taught me so much. And so it's just a delight for me to be able to share her with you. So thanks, Mandy Marie, for coming on today.
Thank you, Jenny, for asking me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be a juicy conversation, you guys, because what Mandy Marie talks about kind of gets into the guts of change. And I think that's what we're all trying to do as we listen to the podcast and try to get more organized is how do we make these changes stick? And there's so much more to it than we think. It's not just a series of tips. We talk about mindset on the show, but Mandy Marie really gets into it. So we're excited to hear what you have to say. So Mandy Marie, tell us about you. What do listeners need to know about you? How did you get started in all of this? And what is it that you do now? Just give us the whole story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in a nutshell, my mess became my message. I was in the throes of depression. I had it for 12 years. And at year 10, I was so tired of the side effects of the medication that I was like, I've got to figure out what is going on. And I guess if I just look and I don't find a solution, then I'll just keep taking the antidepressant because it's better than not having it. But I was really determined to see if there was a solution. So through a series of lots of different miracles and lots of different people who began to really show up in my life, I figured out some root causes to it. And I was actually able to get off my antidepressant, and I have not had an antidepressant in 12 years. And wow. That just propelled me.
Hold on just a minute. Okay. So that is incredible. So, and I have been a part of your life for a while and have seen you just, you know, become just brighter and happier and more capable. So I think that's just like, we need to underscore that for a minute. Like what a transition for you that you've been able to do that in your life.
Oh, thank you. It's brought a whole new meaning to freedom.
Right.
Truly. That yeah. I had no idea. I mean, when I was in the throes of that, I literally every day would be like, okay, can I just make it through another day? Okay, do I really have to do this for the next 80 years of my life? Like, I don't know if I can do it. It was so daunting. And most people had no idea I was even dealing with that. I kept it under wraps as best as I could because of all sorts of reasons. But anyway, right. it was a big deal.
Well, and I think it's important to note that that may not be the result for everyone as they do this kind mm-hmm. of work. You know, medication mm-hmm. has a very important role. And yes. So that's certainly something that you always talk about with your doctor and recognize that you're yeah. going to have your own situation. However, the quality of your life and the freedom that you feel and your ability to contribute has just skyrocketed as a result of the work that you do. So I just love that we can talk about that and, you know, shine that light out to anyone listening who feels like they don't want to feel stuck in that mire anymore. So I love that you're open and share that with others.
Thank you. I really believe that the medication actually helped to bring me up to a place where I could actually even entertain an idea that maybe I didn't have to struggle with depression for the rest of my life. So that's, I will often tell my clients, like, yeah, maybe the medication would be really good for a little while to help bring you up to that space where you can actually move forward like you want to.
Right.
So it does have its place.
Yeah, for sure. Well, okay. So then what next? So you started feeling better, a lot of work, a lot of miracles. So what came next mm-hmm. for you?
Yeah. And so then I just kept having this inkling that lots of people needed this hope and they needed some guidance. They wanted it. And I just kept saying to myself, well, I don't want to be the one that gives it. Like, no way. I can't talk to anybody about this. Like, and there's no way that I could do like something like coaching to help somebody through this. And so that played around in my mind for a long time, like a couple of years. And then I just started to get more confident that maybe I could do something. And so I just kind of stumbled into coaching, really is the best way to put it. And then as I kept on this journey myself of improving and learning about myself and my higher power and the role of the world and all of that, I began to let loose of the perfectionism that had been a part of my life that I didn't really even know to even call it that. But as I look back, it's like, oh yeah, there was plenty of that going on. And so I was able to really get uncomfortable with the uncomfortable, or get uncomfortable and be comfortable enough to move forward and release the chains that were binding me down with the perfectionism. And I needed to look a certain way and I needed to do a certain thing and my kids needed to be a certain way, and all of that. And so this work has it started with overcoming depression, and now it's just moved into literally being able to be a pillar of strength so that whenever anything comes at me, that I can handle it and I can move through it. And so that's what I love to help women do, is to get to that same place, because I know that women inside, deep inside of them, they are a pillar of strength. We just came programmed that way. And life's experiences often knock it out of us or it covers it up. And so when we have the skills and the tools to uncover it, then we're a mighty force to be reckoned with, because we are moving the work forward to help with our children, help them to become emotionally resilient, help them become pillars of strength in the midst of their own challenges.
Well, I'm sure glad that you worked through the resistance that you felt about coaching initially, because you have helped so many people. I know you've helped me and my family. And I love, you know, what you're talking about with becoming a pillar of strength. Let's marry the two terms. On this podcast, we talk about living an organized life. That's the outcome a lot of listeners are looking for. And you help people become a pillar of strength. Can you create a bridge between those two things and help them understand how being that pillar of strength, or the work that you do, contributes to living an organized life or enables you to live an organized life?
Yes. So whatever is going on in the inside of us is showing up on the outside of us. So if I want to live a more organized life, then it's really helpful to look inside. What is my personal alignment in how I see the world, how I feel, how I express my emotions, the wisdom that I can find in my life's experiences? Like, am I aligned in truth with those things, or am I misaligned and beating myself up and saying I'm not good enough?
Okay, so you're saying we're disorganized on the inside. It's going to show up on the outside. And a lot of that disorganization on the inside really comes in your mindset, right? Like how you're thinking about yourself. You talk a lot about subconscious programming. That is a really big term and can feel kind of hard to wrap our arms around. One of the ways that has helped me understand the subconscious and the conscious, I'm sure you've seen that picture of the iceberg that's floating around where there's just a tiny part showing above the water and the bulk of it is below the water. I wondered if you could talk about that analogy and how it maps out to the conscious and subconscious and how it relates to what you were just talking about in terms of being disorganized on the inside and some of those beliefs that we have about ourselves.
Yes. So you said something really key. You talked about mindset. And often when we, at least for me, in the many years of being on this planet, when I have heard the word mindset, I just, my brain has automatically gone to, well, just think a happy thought. And that's not the kind of mindset that I help people with, because underneath that
water level, the iceberg, that represents the subconscious mind. And in the subconscious, there are files. And those files are patterns of behavior. They're patterns of belief based on whatever has happened in our lives. And so understanding what our patterns are can help us to actually get a different result. So I like to say, all right, am I getting the results that I want right now with such and such and such and such? And if the answer is no, then I know that there's something in my subconscious file that is not aligned with what's really true. So if I can go in and figure out what those messages are, whoa, I'm on the way to being free in a whole different way.
So are you saying if we want to be more organized and we're trying, but we're not getting that result, there's some subconscious programming that might be getting in the way that's kind of sabotaging us or holding us back?
Absolutely.
All right. Everyone's ears just perked up because I think we all feel that. So now that we're really listening and understanding that what this conversation today can help us see results in a whole new way because we might be holding ourselves back, that term subconscious programming can be a big term to wrap our arms around. Where do we even start? Like, how do we even get a foothold into this? If what we know that we want, something that feels overwhelming to us, is maybe getting organized, maybe it's in our space, maybe it's time management, maybe it's some other aspect of our life that feels cluttery, how do we start to change that subconscious programming? Are there some steps or something that you can give us to walk us through the process of changing that?
Yes. So the first thing is to recognize, what am I thinking? So another way to ask that is, what am I worried about? So let's just give an example. Let's say you want to live a more organized life. Then the next step is, all right, what if you have a more organized life, what does your brain think will happen?
Well, I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking everything will be great. My life's more organized. All my problems go away. Is that what you find?
Yeah.
The common answer?
Yes, exactly. And then the next question is the gold nugget question.
Okay.
What does my brain say about me if everything's going well and I'm organized? Life is hunky-dory. What does my brain say about me?
Okay, I'm going to answer this for listeners because I can hear, I think what they'd say is that it means I'm doing it right and it means that I'm good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And your listeners and all of us, we're not alone. Like, we're human beings. And this, I would say 95% of the time when I do this kind of questioning and guide somebody through it, it comes down to, then I'm good enough. Well, there's a real challenge with that because our value cannot go up and it cannot go down. So we're on this hamster wheel thinking, oh, if I have an organized life and I've got it all together, then I am all of a sudden better. I am more valuable. And it's not true.
How do we know that's not true? I think that's a hard thing to understand. Right? Like, it really would seem like we're doing better and we are more valuable if our life is more organized. But you're saying it's not. So break that down.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a higher power and I believe that all of us were put on this earth as babies and we had our intrinsic value inside of us. That value doesn't go away because we turn into teenagers and then adults. Like, it's the same. It stays the same. Value doesn't change. Now, are there consequences to our behaviors, to our choices? Yes. But that is different than value. If I have a $100 bill and I crumple it and I say to you, hey, Jenny, you want this $100 bill? Are you going to take it?
Absolutely.
The value didn't change because I crumpled it up?
Nope. I can still go shopping with it.
Exactly. So it's the same thing with our decisions, our choices, our overwhelm, whether we're organized, whether we have a clean house, whether we don't, whether our dog makes a mess at the neighbor's lawn, you know, like all of those things don't change our value. So in having an organized life and saying, wow, I just keep butting up against a problem, it's just not happening, it most likely is because there's a file in your subconscious that says, oh, but you would be worth more if you did get organized. And because it's not true, there's this cognitive dissonance between your spirit, which is the best version of you, and the reality that you're living. And so it's just this conflict, and our brains just let it sit, you know, and we usually try to be more organized and have a better life. And we just beat ourselves up going, what in the heck? Like, it's not working, or it worked for a little bit of time, but it's not working long term.
I've heard it described as we have one foot on the gas and another foot on the brakes. So we're moving forward, doing some of the right things, but that subconscious is like that foot on the brakes where we can't fully move forward just because, again, like whatever's happening inside of us, trying to prove our worth, trying to prove something that doesn't need to be proved. You know, like you said, that hamster wheel situation. And so we're not making the progress. One of the ways that I've started to look at value is as potential. You know, you think about a little baby has all the potential in the world. And so if we can use those terms almost synonymously, you think about you sitting in a home that's organized versus you sitting in a home that's not, your potential is the same. You still have all the same talents and abilities and likes and desires, but without the clutter in the way, you are able to realize that potential a little quicker. And so I think the potential, the value doesn't change, but there's still a case for wanting to get organized, right? It just doesn't make you a better person. It just frees you up a little more.
Exactly. So if we go back to this analogy here, that if we've got that file that says, if I'm organized, then I have more value. Then we say, okay, now I want to change that, because now I'm understanding that my value doesn't go up and it doesn't go down based on how my house looks, based on how organized I am. So what would possibly happen to actually rewire that programming with what is true, which is my value is independent of the organization in my life? Now, what I have noticed for myself personally and with every client that I work with and help them figure this out is that all of a sudden there is bandwidth to actually do what it is that we want to do. In this case, we're talking about having an organized life. All of a sudden, I'm free because the weight of trying to prove my value or increase my value has been released. So now I actually have the bandwidth to actually follow the great systems that you have in place for the people that buy your programs and that listen to you. And that bandwidth is like, whoa, it's so incredibly amazing. It's so freeing.
Right, because we're not tying so much of our effort up into trying to prove something. And I just think as you even say that statement, which I'll just repeat again because I thought was so good, my value is independent of the organization in my life. I wonder how that feels to listeners as they listen to that. Like, is that feel freeing? Does that feel like a relief that you are not contingent? Your value is not contingent on what your house looks like or what your life looks like or what you look like or what your kids are doing, any of those things that start to come into play where you want to prove yourself. That's just an interesting moment to contemplate. Like, how does that statement make you feel? And I think if it feels a little more freeing, that's a good indicator that that's a truth for you.
Excellent. Yes, absolutely.
So where do we go from there? So we're looking to change our subconscious programming. We've kind of whittled it down to there may be some that I need to change about my value. My value is independent of the organization in my life. Then what? Are we going to be organized? Or what is still in the way with subconscious programming that might hold us back?
Well, the fact that it's a pattern.
Okay.
And it's taken how many years have we been running on the pattern? 20 years, 50 years, 70 years? So you're right. It doesn't just magically disappear because we understand, oh, that's the programming. And now I'm going to rewire with new programming, which neuroplasticity says we absolutely can. Our brains are able to literally create new pathways of truth. So this is where the curiosity and the pattern interrupting of like, okay, I am now going down the rabbit hole that says, oh, I just can't get it together. I can't get my life organized. I don't know what to do and what's wrong with me. And we just stop ourselves. And we go back to what is the truth that I discovered about what I believe about me because I'm disorganized. So we go back to where we started. Oh, that's what my brain's telling me, that if I would get it together, that I would be more valuable. Oh, and I know that that's not true. That doesn't improve my value. Oh, okay. So see, then we just kind of step ourselves through it and just be really curious about what's really going on. It's a very simple way to start the process of literally rewiring the brain.
So I assume that we want to take a turn from that track that our brain was on or that our thoughts we were having. So you've stopped the thought. You've asked yourself, what is the truth? The truth is my value is independent of whether or not I'm organized. What's the next step to kind of get that wiring more secure?
So that last statement that you just said, my value is independent of the organization of my life. That's what you repeat over and over and over and over. We change subconscious patterns through repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. That's how we do it. So we give it truth. Now, some people will be like, yeah, well, I don't believe that, or that's really not happening for me right now. And that's okay, because the subconscious doesn't know the difference between what's happened and what hasn't happened, what's true, what isn't true. It is just a recording device. So we literally get to tell it what we want it to believe. And with the repetition, pretty soon it becomes a new file. And the old file gets kind of discarded because we're not going down that track. We're not feeding that thought anymore, or we're not feeding into that file anymore. And so we're literally creating a new pathway in the brain. So it is repeating truth over and over and over.
I think you said something really interesting where you said the subconscious isn't so concerned about what's true and what's not and what has happened and what will happen. It just wants to run the program. And I think we live in an age now where we can understand that a little bit better. You know, like your computer can just run a program. We can just install an app. Is the app valuable? I don't know, but it's going to do its thing as long as it's on your phone. So if it's not an app you want, or it's not bringing you value, you take the app off your phone. Or if that program is not running correctly, it's not that your device has a problem. Your device is doing what it's supposed to. It's just your job as the owner to make sure that what's running through the hardware is what you want. So I think if you take a step back in this conversation and think, is the software or the thoughts and the beliefs that I'm having creating the result I want? No, my hardware is just running this program. So changing that software, changing that thought is literally repeating over and over again. My value is independent of whether or not I'm organized. And then I think, isn't there just some action that needs to happen? You talked about kind of freeing up some bandwidth. Once you have that thought running through your mind, the truth that I am valuable, you feel this surge of power, or you just move forward and you do the organized things that you're wanting, but you do it because it helps your life get better, not because you're trying to prove anything. It just feels like in this process, probably the action is the next piece that is really important here.
Yeah. So then we go back to, well, what do you want? Well, actually, I really would like a more organized life. Okay. Now you have the bandwidth to actually put one of your systems into place. And most of your listeners probably know something about your system. And so then they can actually begin to do all the amazing things that you are guiding them to do to actually have an organized life.
This is just fascinating. It's just so interesting to think of that iceberg image again and think what you see on the top of the water may feel chaotic, which triggers the thought, I'm not organized. I'm never going to be able to. Then you dip below that surface and start investigating those thoughts and asking yourself, what program do you really want to run? And you clean up the program. My values independent of how organized I am. And you come back up to the surface. And what do you see? You see actions that you're taking that really do organize yourself because it's what you want. If that's something that you truly want and does feel like the next step, when you come back up to the surface after cleaning up that programming, you do start to see those results.
Beautifully said. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, this is a pretty important conversation to our listeners, because with all of the strategy and action that we talk about, and we do do some mindset, but this is a pretty deep dive into that subconscious. I think this is really valuable. If I was hearing this for the first time, I think I would be thinking, okay, so this is great. Do I have to do this every day? Do I have to do this in all aspects? Because this is a great conversation to have, but in the middle of running carpool and taking care of kids and working, where do you find the time to work on this? What does this look like if you want to continue to change your subconscious, but you're living a busy life? What's the reality of this?
Yeah. Well, you do it on the fly and on the go, right? Like this is what I've shared with you today is all stuff that you can mentally do to process and just be aware of what's going on inside your head. We are not our brain. So the thoughts that we have, they're just coming from our life's experiences. And so because that is the reality, then we have the opportunity and the power to actually do something about it if we know what to do. So you say, well, how often do I need to do this? Well, I guess as often as you want a different result than what you're getting.
Right. Right. And you have some tools that help us do this on the fly. This conversation is a great starter, but you have a free offer that you step people through a process of being able to interrupt this pattern as you were talking about. Do you want to tell us anything about what that is and how people can get that so that this is an easier thing to do on the fly?
Yes. So I have a 5-question, it's a free guide, 5 questions to just ask yourself. That I intentionally made it very simple because the last thing that I want is a bunch of women running around overwhelmed with the conversation that they have with me. Instead, I want to open their minds to possibility. So this free guide that can be accessed on my website will just ask 5 simple questions to just open that door, like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. And what it's doing without usually most people knowing it's doing is it's opening that file inside the subconscious that talks about your overwhelm. It talks about the results that you're getting. So we're just cracking it open a little bit. And for some people, they have that file, it's wide open. And it doesn't matter where you're at, you can ask these 5 questions and just start to think about a different possibility.
I love that you're helping us question our thoughts and not attach and identify so much with our thoughts. I think we get stuck in believing our thoughts just because it runs through our head. And so as we talk about reprogramming the subconscious and using these 5 questions, this is the process for you to start to recognize that just because you think it doesn't mean that it's true. When you said you are not your brain, it made me think, well, you're not your laptop. You get the results of your laptop. You get the results of your phone. You get whatever's processing through it, but you are not that. That is a tool that serves you. And it's the same thing with our relationship with our brain. We are not our brain. That's just a processor for us that helps manage and store information. And so we want to clean it up. There's viruses in there, right? We need to do some cleanup and some decluttering. And so this is a really great tangible way to do that. Well, I think this is a great time for us to start to open up the speculation and the idea that we can do something about our thoughts. And these five tools or these five questions will be really helpful with that. And I think you've got another thing coming out that's kind of exciting. If people are ready to jump in and really do some work with this, if there are a lot of results they want to change in their life and get more involved, tell us more about your new program that you're releasing.
Yes. So I have released on April 9th, released a program called Solution Creator Academy. And it is a downloadable or an online resource to learn five skills to help you to become a pillar of strength in the midst of whatever challenges you have. And it will step you, guide you through subconscious programming, your subconscious programming. It will give you skills to know how to access what your brain is telling you that maybe you don't recognize has been telling you, so that the self-sabotage can be reduced greatly.
Well, it's just fascinating to think about how all of this has been running in the background all this time, and we haven't maybe thought to look at reprogramming it. And I'm curious, what kind of problems, when you say a solutions creator, that you're a solutions creator, it means you're creating solutions to problems that you're having. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, obviously on this podcast, we have this common thread of wanting to get organized, but we're not so one-dimensional that we don't have other things happening in our lives that we also need solutions for. What are the typical solutions that your clients find? What are the problems they come to you with that you feel like this academy would be a good help for?
So women who have tried everything, that's the word that they use. I've tried everything. I've read every book on the planet about self-help, self-improvement. I've gone to classes. I've even gone to some therapy, and there's still something wrong. This class will help them to understand what's wrong, quote unquote, which is, it's just patterns in the subconscious. That's all it is.
So they've tried everything to help them with parenting. They've tried everything to help them lose weight. They've tried everything to help them maybe with mental health. Are there other situations that your clients have come to you with that this material has helped them solve?
Marriages.
Great.
Yeah. Personal relationships with all sorts of everybody, right? But specifically parenting and marriages.
Right.
Been huge. And when I work with teenagers, obviously those aren't the two topics. It's body image. It's being accepted or being rejected. Those are the two biggest themes for teenagers that I work with.
What an interesting thought to think that as a teenager, you could clean up some of the clutter in your mind, some of that programming that would allow you to build a life on some true programming. You think about any of the junk that we started out with as we married and started our families and built our careers on that programming of needing to prove ourselves. What an incredible opportunity at that age to be able to rewire some of that.
Definitely. Yes. I just congratulate any teenager that will spend time with me and say, you are setting yourself up for so much freedom and success. And there are so many people that are going to need what you have learned, and they're going to come to you, and you are going to have something to share with them. And it might just be a little simple thing to you, but to them, it could totally change the trajectory of their life. So I congratulate them, and I'm so grateful to them for getting into the hard stuff, because they don't have easy things. and comfortable things that they're talking about. It's embarrassing stuff. It's hard stuff. But it's the reality of a teen's life.
Well, it's It's no different than my life. You know, when I work with you, when I work with coaches, when my clients work with me, what's under the covers, it is embarrassing stuff. It's stuff that we don't really want to talk about. What's in the subconscious? It's not an easy thing to talk about feelings of lack of worth or body image or insecurities within a marriage or whatever it is. But if we don't dig into that, how do we change it? So little can be done at the surface.
Just one thing right there to bridge that gap. And it's to understand this, that subconscious patterns are not a character flaw, just a programming glitch. So if we can take that understanding and put that to our programming, our patterns, the results that we don't like, then all of a sudden it loses this human element, for lack of a better way to say it, right? Then all of a sudden our value isn't attached to the fact that we've got these challenges, we've got these issues, and I'm showing up this way and I don't like it, and it's not good, it's not helpful. And so it can lose a little bit of its sting by just understanding it's not a character flaw. It's just a programming glitch.
I think that's a really helpful way to look at that. And again, I just like to keep coming back to the analogy of a computer. Everybody's computer has viruses. It's just part of being human. So the trick here is not trying to convince ourselves that if we were just good enough, we wouldn't have any viruses and everything would be okay. The trick to living a happy, fulfilled, organized life, being a pillar of strength, however you want to look at it, is learning how to clean up those programs, learning how to clean out those viruses so that you can just have that organized life. And as those challenges come up, you have tools to help you deal with it.
Yes,
well, beautiful. This is exciting. I hope everyone's doing backflips right now as they're listening. Because I think we've all been there where we feel like I have tried everything. I have searched everywhere I can. And I think what we talk about on the podcast, there are really, really good systems here, but we do need to address that underlying mindset. And so we've touched on it here and there within the podcast. And definitely that's what I offer in my coaching. But I'm really glad to offer these two resources to listeners today. So your free offer, we'll put links in the show notes. What's the name of that free offer one more time, Mandy Marie?
I call it a free guide from overwhelmed to confident.
Okay. So look for that in the show notes. And then the new program, Solutions Creator Academy, where you can really learn those skills that I think will help not just you, but your family. You know, as we talked about teenagers, and everyone's really quick to want to have those teenagers get some help. And for sure, that is a great thing to be able to offer them. But I think when you yourself can learn those skills, you naturally can create an environment where you're sharing those things with your family and they're more receptive. And so it's just such a gift to invest in yourself and start to fix some of your own programming, because that's how you can start to help your family see how to fix and help theirs as well.
Yep. I've seen that so many times.
It's a beautiful process. Win-win-win. We like those.
Yep. Yes.
All right. Well, Mandy Marie, this has just been so great to visit with you today. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us. Thank you for showing up in your life and facing those things that were hard for you and being willing to share it with other people. It's such a blessing to all of us, and really excited to see what listeners decide to do with this information today. So thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. That was really fun.
It was fun.
And I hope empowering to all of your listeners.
Yeah. Well, it sure feels like it to me. I'm going to start looking at my thoughts. All right. Thanks so
much.
Me too. Marie, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.